Svarno Parshas Baaloschos. So the Parsha opens up with the menorah. And the Pasuk describes it, and the second Pasuk says, Baaloschos Aneros, it'll be El Mol Pnei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shivas Aneros. That facing the menorah in the center, that is the center stick or whatever it is in the center. That's center candle. And then there are three branches coming off on the right, and three branches coming off on the left for a total of seven candles. So the three on the right and three on the left, the candle is facing towards the center. So why is that? So the Svarno explains, because it's a, you know, like we say, Arach Yama Bimina Bismol Osher Vacharavot. There's the Maiminimba, the people who Maiminimba, those are the people who learn Torah, the people on the right of the Torah, that is the ones, in this case, the menorah represents the Torah, the people on the right are those who are learning the Torah. And for example, we say about that, Arach Yama Bimina, they have long life. The people on the left are those who support the Torah. Bismola Osher Vacharavot. So the people who support the Torah, those who are on the left. And they all face the middle. That means to say all of them should have the same kavana. Both those who learn and those who support the Torah should have the same kavana to do Ratzon Hashem, to do what Hashem wants. And this will make it Ba'ufen sheyusag mechuvano ben kulam. And through this, God's kavana in really the world, in the menorah, in the Torah, will be fulfilled. That means both have an important part to play. And if both are mechavin l'shem shamayim, so then Hashem's purpose in created this world is fulfilled. That means to say, if you're someone who supports Torah, you're not like, a nebuch. That makes the person doing maybe we'll call the person actually learning on the right, and the person who's only supporting on the left, maybe the right's more chashuv, but they're both, as seem to be equally important. Like I said, one's on the right, one's on the left, but they're both have very important parts to play, and they all both have to have in mind what they're doing is to do Ratzon Hashem, and that's what Hashem wants from the world. Okay, then we have the description of the Jews in the Midbar, that when the cloud would move, so then Klal Yisrael would move, and the cloud would not move, they would stay. But nobody told them in advance how long they'd be somewhere, or how much time they'd have in any given place. So the Pasuk spends a few psukim. It's in Perek Tes, Pasuk, starting Pasuk Yud Tes, telling you about sometimes it was long times in a place and sometimes it was short. But the Svarno was meticulous about describing what each Pasuk is referring to. So we have the first Pasuk says, sometimes the Aron would be ma'arich, would stay long in a certain place, and the Svarno sticks in, and that particular place was not pleasant. And in other words, they wanted to leave. And yet, Vishom Bavnei Yisrael is Mishmeres Hashem Elei Yisrael, but the Jews would not move. No, it's because it's describing that the Anan was in a place a long time and nobody would move, so what is that coming to tell you? So that's what I'm saying. It's coming to tell you they wanted to move. Sometimes the Anan would rest in a place that was not Gishmak, and it would stay there a while, but they would not move until the Anan moved. Then you have the next Pasuk. Yesh Asher Yiyah HaAnan Yama Mispar Al Mishkan. And then, Api Hashem Yachna, Api Hashem Yisrael. Sometimes the Anan would be in a place very Gishmak, and it would just move after a couple of days. And they followed it. They followed it, no matter what. The next Pasuk says, Yesh Asher Yiyah HaAnan Me'erev Ad Boker. Sometimes the Anan only would stay one day. So that's obviously one day is not enough time to get yourself together. That's very quick. But the Svarno says, it is throwing into you this Na'ale HaAnan Baboker, that the cloud never traveled by night, never started moving. There's no starting to travel at night. That did not happen. Hashem did not put that burden on them. No, travel always started in the day. But it could be after one day, that the next morning it'll go. And they won't have enough time to unpack, as you would say. Or in the next pasuk, oh, yomayim, ochodesh, oyamim, or sometimes they did have enough time to unpack and they got themselves all together. And then they had to go. Or if it was a few days, they'd have some of their stuff together or whatever, so they'd have some stuff unpacked, some stuff not unpacked, and then they'd have to go, so it was very difficult, but they kept their emunah and Hashem, and they stayed as long as the Aaron stayed and left when the Aaron left. Okay, then we have the Yisro being asked to stay with Moshe. So Moshe tells him that we're going to the Eretz Canaan, please stay with us. And Yisro responds, "V'yamar yelav lo elech. I'm not going to go. Why? Ki im el arzi vel moladti elech. I'm going to my land and to where I'm from." So, what does that refer to? Arzi and moladti. So Rashi says it means my money or my family. But the Svarno says it means he was too old to handle a new climate. So, because he was old, so to get used to and to acclimate to a new area would not have worked. He was too old, so he had to go to where he was used to. That's what he meant to say. So what's the response to that? Next pasuk says, "Vayomer al nata azovo tanu." Please don't leave us. So, but Yisrael already told you how to leave. So what happened there? So the Sfarner explains it was saying, leave your kids with us. Okay, you have to go, so your kids should stay. So now, according to the Sfarno, that's what happened. Yisro did leave. Yisro went home and did not return. But his kids stayed, right? Because we know that the kids stayed, because there was definitely, they were there. But Yisro left, according to the Sfarno. Other Rishonim disagree with that, but according to the Sfarno, Yisro actually left. And it's hinted to in the Pasuk, when it says, Galkenya data chanusenu, he said, Al na ta'oz avasenu, don't leave us, means leave your kids. Galkenya data chanusenu ben midbar, because you knew us in the midbar. And was after with anything? So the Sfarno says, Moshe was trying to tell him, what a chil Hashem it would be if you left. You were Megayer, you came to Klai Yisrael, you're Megayer, and you walk around with us, and then you leave. Ooh, if you left us totally, it would look like you found out that, you know, it's not kedai to be an Oved Hashem. So therefore, you gotta leave some people there so you can show that that's not why you're leaving. It's just because you're old. So at least I'll leave some people. And Yisro agreed. I'm sorry, I forgot the pasuk. How we know that his kids stayed is because it says in Shoftim of Bnei Keni Chosin Moshe Alum Yerat Maris Bnei Yehuda. So we know they went with the Jews into Israel. So his kids stayed. The father left, and they did that to avoid a chil Hashem. That's the Sfarno's explanation of the story. Okay, then we have a story about the Aron. This is very interesting because he's putting together a lot of different psukim. In the Chumash, sometimes places have different names. I think sometimes people have different names. Well, they do, right? And sometimes places have different names. Okay, so here's the history, which the Sfarno puts together for you. There's about them traveling. They did three masos, three travelings, from Midbar Sinai, and it was done in 3 days, and that was Kirvas Ataiva, Chateros, and Risma. Those are all mentioned in Masay, that they left Midbar Sinai and they went to Chateros, Kirvas Ataiva, Chateros, and Risma. Those three. Those are the three masos. It was all done in 3 days. That's the 3 days we're talking about in Parshas Balosha in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So Sfarno says it was only 3 days to get to Israel from there, because in 3 days they got to Risma, which is also known at the end of this week's Parsha, the last Pasuk in the Parsha, after they left Chatzeros. Remember we said it was the Kibbutz Ataiva, Chatzeros, and Risma. Those are the three Masos. So Chateros goes to Midbar Paron, so that means Risma and Midbar Paron is the same place. And from there, they sent Miraglim to inspect Israel, so that means they were right there. So they were very close. They were 3 days away from Israel, and they got to the place where the Miraglim were, which is they were right about to go in. So it's basically a three-day journey to get into Israel from where they were. And they did it in 3 days. They were right there, and that's where they sent the spies from. So again, here in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayisumi Hashem, Derech Shloshim Yamim, those are the 3 days, the three Masos they did in 3 days. So according to the Sfarno now, this is not according to everybody, the Sfarno says, those 3 days of traveling were a special 3 days of traveling. It was not normal. And what was it? That's the Parsha with the backwards nuns. Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe. Then the Aron went in front of them those 3 days. In other words, the Pasuk before says, V'anan Hashem Aleim Yomba Benasim in the Machane. The Anan was on top of the Jews, says the Sfarno, did not go in front of them. We're all familiar with the idea that Anan did go in front of them. The Anan went in front of them to knock down mountains and kill the scorpions and the snakes and whatever. So in the time of these particular three Masos, remember, this is before the Chet of the Meraglim. You're supposed to go right into Israel. What was the plan if they were going right into Israel? The Sfarno told us before, he says it again here. It was supposed to be, the plan was this pasuk. What was the war plan? The plan was right here what it says. It would have been miraculous. They would have had, like they had in these three masos, the Aron was walking in front of them. The Aron was in front of everybody. That was blowing up the mountains, making them flat, and killing all the scorpions and spiders, or whatever, all the snakes. And when they would get into Israel, all the goyim would have been scared off. They just would have ran away. No need for a fight even. They just would have ran away. Like this pasuk says, Kuma Hashem, v'yafutzu evecha minus emisanecha mipanecha. It would have scared away all the goyim. There would have been no need to fight. That was when the Aron was in the front. Then when they sinned, after Chena Meraglim, the Anan, like it says, the Anan lo mashmi kerev, whatever, when the portion of the Jews went to go, after they heard that they couldn't go into Israel, a portion of the Jews said, the Mapilim said, we're gonna go anyway, and it says the Aron didn't move. Anyway, the Aron didn't move from that point to the front. The Aron at that point stayed where it was, in the middle, and the Anan went in the front from that point forward. So again, it's a special time, these 3 days, where the Aron was going in front of everybody, and that was supposed to scare off everybody who was flattening the mountains. And then after Chena Meraglim, the Anan stayed in the center, and the Anan went in front of them. And then once they got into Israel, they had to fight regular wars. Now this part is really cool. Did you ever think to yourself how many people, Jews, were there at Har Sinai? So we know it says there were 600,000, but we also know those were males between the ages of 20 and 60. So what would you figure how many people were actually there? There's all the females of all ages and all the males of older ages. So what would you think? If you had asked me, I would have guessed around, I don't know, 2 million, 2.5 million. That would have been my guess based on nothing. But listen to this. The Pasuk then says, Uvnucha Yomar Shuvah Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. What is Rivavos Alfei Yisrael? So, basically, Alfei is minimally 2,000, and we always go with the minimum, because you can't prove otherwise. Elef is 1,000, Alfei is 2. Rivavos is also a minimum 2. So, Rivavos is 10,000, Rivava is 10,000, Rivavos is 20,000. Elef is 1,000, Alfei is 2,000, so that it's Rivavos Alfei Yisrael, it means 20,000 2,000s. You got it? That's how many Jews there were, this furnace suggests. 20,000, 2,000s. Rivavos, Alfei Yisrael. 20,000, 2,000s. Meaning, take the number 20,000 times 2,000, what do you get? 4 million. So according to him, there were 4 million Jews there. Okay, so this was not the first second they went to Har Sinai, but the count seems to be the same. So to say there were 4 million, that means, it would mean the overwhelming majority were not, I mean, it means more than three quarters were not men between the ages of 20 and 60. Now, people did live longer there. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu lived till 120. You know, it's not like everybody died at 80. It would be unusual. It would sound like there's a lot of ladies, and kids, and maybe just a lot of old people. I don't know. Anyway, he actually says it, Bederech Efshar, Ki Ulai Hayu Yisrael, Azim Agim, Osaminyan, Bein Anashim, Nashim Atav. Maybe that was the number. That's his understanding of that Pasuk. That means 4 million. 20,000, 2,000s is 4 million. That was the total number of Yidden, perhaps. Okay. Then we have the parasha of the Mesonim. Okay, so the Sfarno starts out with an important diuk. The Mesonim are the complainers, right? They complained that they didn't have any meat to eat. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The complainers complained that it was too rough all the journey. But there was Kim Mesonim, right? The people who asked for the meat, that's coming up next. That's the Hisavu Otava. That's where they went further south. But here we have the Mesonim. These are first the complainers that it was a rough journey. So, but it wasn't misonanim. That's the diuk. It's kib misonanim, not actual misonanim, which Rashi points out too. They were like complainers. So, but the Sfarno explains it to mean that they weren't really complaining. They were just seeing what they could get away with. Meaning, if you kretch, let's see what we get. I mean, that's what it sounded like, maybe just me. The words of the Sfarno is lanasos. But, the point that he is bringing out is they weren't really misonin and belibim. They weren't really complaining in their hearts. They were just talking. So they were complaining. See, I don't know, I take that as to see what they could get out of it. I don't know, but they were complaining. Hashem didn't like that, and so he sent, an ish. Okay, and then, Moshe Davin and the ish went away. It's actually, the word is vatishka ish, means it sunk, which the Sfarno says was done on purpose, that everybody should know it came from God. But then by yeshuvu, by yivku. So that's the asafsaf. Then they started kvetching about other stuff. And that was, they were complaining that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, because they liked it better there, where they got better food. And this also says the Sfarno was Lanasos to see if Hashem would give them better stuff, what they consider better stuff. And Hashem, and I'm sorry, then Moshe comes to Hashem and says, to put this whole, what I do wrong that these people are on me? He says, "Ha'anochi ha'arisi, am I? Did I give birth to them? Am I their dad?" So, what did he mean by that? So, the Sfarno says what he meant to say is, a father can lead his children even if the kids don't agree with him, or just, you know, they don't look at things the same way. Because at least the kids know that the father is trying his best to help them out. However, these guys, I didn't give birth to them, meaning to say, they don't trust me. I'm not their dad. They don't trust me. They say, who knows what kind of games I'm playing. So they're always testing me to see, am I real? Am I the real deal? Can I bring them their food? Because this complaining was not just against Hashem, it was against Moshe too. And he speaks out. When Moshe says, where am I going to get meat? And they know that, as far as they know, I don't have meat. So why are they asking me? Because they're expecting, they're trying to see, am I the real deal? Can I dive into Hashem and meat's going to show up? It's all a test to see what they can get, if I'm really, how close I am, how much influence, whatever, how much he can get. That's what they were trying to test. And therefore, says Moshe, lo chalavadi laseis kalam azeh, I can't do this myself. I need other people to be with me, so at least they're not going to think I'm personally running some racket. I need some other people with me so that they learn to trust me. And if they trusted him before, now it seems that they were doubting his trust, so they need other people with him so that they'll trust him more, because there's other people involved also. And so that's what he was saying, according to Svano. And then the next pasuk says, "Vim kachat asali hargeni naharog." And if you're going to do this to me, now you see it's lashon nekevim kachat osali. If you Hashem, but referring in the female, you will do to me. So Svano says, not like Rashi. Svano says that means if you Hashem are going to deal with Klal Yisrael in a way that is not shalim, because of me. Meaning, you don't want to have anybody join me because of my personal honor. If this is what you're going to do, meaning just have it me, for me, for my own covered, so then don't do Hargen in a Harog. I'd rather be dead. Why would I rather be dead? So that you'll appoint other people to take my place and they'll trust in them at least. And why does Moshe have to die? Because that's the rule. In Malchus Nagea, Nima, whatever, one Malchus can't overlap the other. So Moshe, no, fine, he'll die and put in, after me, a bunch of people so that they'll trust in them. Aval era berazi, and I will not see my evil, meaning the bad stuff that's happening to Kaisel because of me and my honor. Therefore, they're going to not trust me because he won't want to put in other people for my coven. I don't need that, and better he should die than to have Klal Yisrael have a weekend hug and be doubting their leaders. He'd rather be dead. And then, interestingly, so Hashem says, okay, take 70 Zakenim, and I'll give them a ton of meat. They'll eat Adasher Tetzim Yapchem. They'll eat 30 days. So Moshe says, there's a lot of people here. This is a very interesting conversation with Hashem, right? Moshe says to Hashem, there's a lot of people here. 600,000 men, and you're saying that I'm going to give them meat for a month? How? How are we going to have so much stuff? So the Sfarno explains when he said, what it means is, whatever you give them is not going to be enough. Because this whole thing is only to test to see what they could get. So whatever you give them, they're going to ask for more and more and more and more. It's never going to be enough because it's not else they don't have food. It's just because they're testing. So then even if we give them everything, they're going to ask for more. And Hashem says back to him, Hayad Hashem Tikta, that is, you think I can't work that out? If I make them disgusted with the food they eat, they're going to not want anymore. So that's Hashem has a way to do that. This is what he said before, that he said they were going to be Achtetim Yabchem. So Hashem says, I can make it that they don't want more. They'll be disgusted with what they eat. Okay, then it says that when the basar was still in their mouth, Vayach Hashem Ba'am, Hashem killed them. So what is Tarim Yikares? So the Sfarno says it means before the 30 days. It was supposed to be a month they would eat. Before that time, the misonanim, the complainers that also had taiva, those guys died. There were people who were not that, so they ate the 30 days. But the people who were the complainers, A, plus they were misavim, those went really south, so they died before the 30 days. Others got to live the 30 days and eat it. And, it was just the misonanim who were misavim. Okay, then we have the story of Miriam speaking about Moshe. So it says, Vayichar af Hashem ba'am, Hashem was angry at Aaron and Miriam. So the Sfarno says, because they didn't say right away, Chatanu, immediately. When Hashem told them what they did wrong, their response is not quick enough, Chatanu. And therefore Hashem got upset. And the Anan left the oil, and Miriam is Mitzaras. And they say to Moshe, or Aaron says to Moshe, Anati kemeis asher b'tzeis mirachamim ameyachal v'chatzi b'saro. Don't be like a mace who, when half of it comes out of the rechem and half of his basar is eaten.
What is that?
So Rashi is saying the mace is Miriam, who had tzaras, and tzaras is considered like a mace, that we all came out of the same womb and now half of our basar is eaten, so don't be like that, take care of Miriam. The Sfarno has a very different shot. He says, a mace, let's say you have a nephil, a kid that's a miscarriage, and now it comes out of the womb, and half of its body's missing. And the reason half the body's missing is because of the Leda. So you had this baby that probably was going to die anyway, and somehow it got destroyed in the birthing process, and then half of its buser got wiped away or destroyed. So it looks like, you would think, it's going to be born, so now it had a big tikkun. It went into the real world, it got out of the mother's womb and went into the life. But it actually was worse, because by coming out through the birthing process, it lost half of its buser, so it ended up being not a tikkun for it. So they're talking to Moshe, saying, Moshe, you don't be like that. You're going to go out of the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, but you're leaving your sister behind. It'll be like half your buser got left behind in the Midbar, and you went into Israel. Don't be like that. That's what Aaron was telling her. So Moshe davens to Hashem, Kel na rafa na la. He was davening that she should be healed now, immediately. She should not have to go chutz l'machane and be embarrassed. Moshe was davening that she should be healed immediately. Means now, very often. So that's what he was davening. Hashem, please make her be healed now. Okay, now this is really cool. It says in Pasuk Tesvav, V'ha'am lo nasa. Nobody went. Why should they have went? Like, it says that, all Rashi tells you is that they didn't go until Miriam was healed. Who told them to go? We just got through this whole parsha. Nobody went anywhere until the Anan left. It did leave, says the Sfarno. Remember, it says the Anan left and she was Mitzaras Kashalig. The Anan left and went. So everybody looks at that and says, okay, time to go. The Anan moved. We got to go. Now, just for me to point out, I mean, the Sfarno told us that at this point, the Aron was going in front of them, not the Anan. So I guess the Anan just went up, or maybe it hinted where they were supposed to go. I don't know. But it had left. Again, maybe just went further, or slightly forward to show them where they go. I don't know exactly. But it had left, so they knew that was a hint that it's time for them to go. The Pasuk does say, in Shmos, Ubehalos, Anan, Me'ala, Mishkan, Yisu, B'nei, Shalom, B'chol, Maseim. So it left, so it went up. Wherever it went, it was not on the Ohel Moed, which is where it's supposed to be, I guess. So the fact that it left meant they should have traveled, and yet they did not, because they knew it had not left because it was time to travel. Rather, they knew it had left because she was Mitzaras, so they waited for her and they did not travel.